this is truly an iconic moment, and I just want to start off by saying welcome to you four legends of heptathlon. Welcome to the World Athletics Podcast, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Nafi Tiam, Carolina Kluft, and Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill. It is just fabulous to see you all. Before we get started, I mean, I've so many questions I want to ask you. Is this all the first time that you've met Jackie? Because, listen, we're living with a legend here. This is a legend on our platform right now. But has everyone met her before?
Never.
Never? So this is the first time for you, Nafi. Carolina, I think you have, right?
Yeah, I think we've met. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jess?
Yeah, we met, I was saying, after the Olympics in London, randomly on the Thames on a boat. So that was the first time we met. And obviously we haven't seen each other since then. So, yeah, it was a very exciting moment for me all around. And to meet Jackie was amazing then.
And also for Nafi, have you met Carolina before? Because I know she was your sort of your icon when you were younger, watching her compete.
Yes, actually we've met in 2013, I think that was in Göteborg. That was my first senior championship, and she was there to watch. And actually, like, Belgian press arranged a meeting with her. So it was really impressive for me. I was very shy, I think. I don't know what memories she has of the meeting, but I still remember very good.
Well, what are those memories, Carolina? What do you remember of Nafi when you first met her before she became double Olympic champion?
Well, it was a great meeting, of course. You were a bit shy, I think. Maybe you thought it was a big deal, but for me, it was really amazing to meet you there and to see your first step in the senior competitions. And then you, of course, have had such a success after that. So I'm really impressed, and it was so nice to see you in the beginning of your career and follow all your efforts and success since then.
So between you, four of you have really dominated the last 40 years of heptathlon. I mean, both in your eras, you reign supreme. For particularly Jess, Carolina and Jackie, what's it like stepping back and watching the sport and indeed heptathlon unfold over the years? I'll go that to Jess first.
Yeah, I think it's been incredible. It's been such a strange journey. Like, once you're in athletics and it's been your whole life, and the heptathlon has been everything for me for so long, it was a strange feeling to make that decision to step away. But for me, it was the absolute right time. I found that I had so many years of like feeling really highly motivated and driven to compete, and then towards the end of my career it kind of flipped, and I felt that kind of emotion of motivated by retirement and wanting, just feeling really intrigued about what life was going to be like not being an elite athlete and what I'd be able to do, and just not having that kind of discipline and structure to every day and every weekend. So yeah, it's been incredible to kind of have that career now, be on the other side, and, you know, get to watch the likes of Nafi just, you know, dominating and just doing incredible things. And I think with the heptathlon, it's just always, there's never like a standing still moment. It's always, you know, everyone's pushing forwards. It's getting stronger and stronger. And there's always these huge, amazing personalities and amazing women. And yeah, I just feel really proud to be part of this family. It's really special.
And Jackie, obviously you were the trailblazer for so many of us. What's your take on heptathlon and the sport in general?
You know, I have watched each and every one, all of you all, from afar, and just to see the sport continue to grow, and just the excitement and the just the pure talent, you know, and have an appreciation for, you know, what each and every one of you have done to keep the heptathlon out in the forefront. And for me, just being in London, seeing Jess compete and under, to me, pressure at home, and then performing at a very high level, and then just watching Carolina when she was competing, and yeah, I knew she great 400 meter runner, the long jumper, but then, you know, the multi events, and just continue to watch you all's career grow, and then Nafi, just wow, just seeing, you know, be able to bounce back, you know, dealing with all of you have dealt with injuries and still found a way to get the job done and then to go on and be double gold champions. You know, it's just amazing. I think there's just so much rich history. And to be a part of this platform, I am so honored, you know, because I am in awe of each and every one of you. And just know that I watch, even though I'm not out there performing, I love watching the multi-events.
And do you think the nature of the heptathlon, the way the athletes structure the heptathlon, has changed much? I mean, I guess in all our eras, we've been seeing strengths in the high jump and speed events particularly. Do you think it's changed much over the years? I mean, Nafi is such a great thrower. It's one of your absolute strengths. Do you think it's changed much?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's changed much, but I think heptathlon still has the glory of the event, you know, competing together for too long days, and you can still see, you know, the friendship and the competitive spirit among the girls, and it's always spectacular to watch. And I guess there's been, I think it's been quite many who's pushing them in a very, maybe, I don't know the statistics, but it feels like it's a lot of more girls pushing each other in a high level. But still, we have Jackie Joyner Kersee's Jackie's amazing world record there. So we have not reached that up to her level yet, but it's been amazing to see the heptathlon over and over again, and to see the glory of the event. And I think, well, in Sweden, I guess, during my time in the event, I think they also, here in Sweden, they really appreciated the event and maybe opened their eyes for the event, because maybe sometimes it's, you need profiles, of course, you need stars and you need good girls and great girls pushing each other to make the event interesting. But that goes with all the different events. And I just hope that heptathlon still will be in the front line of giving a great show, because that's what we have done, all of us, for many years.
Going back to that world record, Jackie, I mean, it literally is out there. I mean, can you still believe it's like, is it 33 years? It still stood strong.
I know.
Can you believe you still hold the world record?
I know. And I watch, you know, the question you ask about the change, I always felt the key is the high jump, because that's the event you can accumulate the most points, and then finding a balance. And for me, it was really about giving my best on the first day and knowing that I had a 3,000 point second day, making sure that I was consistent in what I was doing. And I think that what pushed is when I looked at my competitors and saw where we're all scoring 6,900 points, then I always strive that I have to be over 7,000, what it's going to take, regardless of the situation. Not really focusing on the world record, was just putting myself in the best shape possible, because I feel that if you're already scoring 6,900 at other meets, when we all come together, then who could be the most consistent in reaching their potential in each event, and what that would give you, you know? And sometimes it didn't go according to the plan, but then when you get on a roll, you're on a roll, you know, and not lose the focus.
But did you all cite that? Because we know the 7,000 points is that magical barrier for us all. You know, we used to just like, I believe it's possible. Obviously, Carolina and Nafi, Jackie yourself, obviously, went over that 7,000 points barrier. Do you start the day thinking it's possible? Did you arrive knowing that it was within your grasp? And that's obviously to Carolina and Nafi.
Personally, I was not really thinking about it. It was the year after the Olympics, and after that gold medal, I had a lot of doubts. I was thinking, okay, what if I just reach my maximum potential and now it's only gonna go down? I don't know, I was just having a lot of questions in my head. And I think doing the 7,000 really broke that and gave me more confidence, knowing that it was not over and I could do way more in the future. So I was not expecting it, to be honest.
Well, for me, I would say it changed. For the first time I broke 7,000, it was more like I didn't expect it. It was more of a result of a great competition and a great shape. And I had that, and I was just 20 years old, so it was not something that I really expected. But then, of course, after you've done it once, you want to do it again. And then I've had a few chances after that. I had some injuries coming in my way as well, a twisted ankle for once in Helsinki. But I think when I came to Osaka in 27, I really knew that I could break 7,000 again. So that was really one thing I aimed for at that particular moment. So I guess it's been changing over the years.
Is there one heptathlon that you can recall where you feel like it's the one that got away? The one that you think, could have, should have done more with that? Does anyone have any memories of that? Jess, particularly, anything that springs to mind?
Probably one of my more frustrating heptathlons was probably, Carolina mentioned, the World Championships in Osaka. And that was actually in 2007, if I'm right. Is that right?
Yeah.
They all blend into one. And that was my first World Championship. So I was kind of naively going into it, not expecting too much, and massively in awe of Carolina and just watching the way she, you know, competed and, you know, just conducted herself with everything. And I found myself getting closer and closer to the podium and to a medal position. And I had a really, really poor shot put. And that was one of the moments where I came off the track and I remember just like crying on the warm-up track, just going, if only I'd just, you know, thrown what I'm capable of throwing. I completely messed it up. And I just remember coming away from that competition feeling really frustrated, happy that I finished fourth and I just missed out on the medal. So I was really, really frustrated that that was perhaps going to be my first opportunity to, yeah, get on the podium and have that taste of real, you know, global success. And I think once you have that, it then starts rolling on into your next competition, your next year. And yeah, I feel that that was perhaps a missed opportunity and a frustration. But then again, if it would have gone the way I wanted it to and I would have won a bronze, then maybe the, you know, the next few years wouldn't have unfolded the way they did. So.
And what about for you, Jackie? Because hearing Jessie's story, I guess, would you say 84 was the one that you think, so close to winning, obviously 5 points off that gold medal? I mean, 5 points, could you imagine that? That would just kind of give me nightmares.
Yeah, you know, I would say 84, which was the beginning of me realizing that it takes more than just the physical, mentally, that I had to be tough. And even though I was dealing with a leg injury, I let the injury get the best of me from the standpoint of just not, in my mind, thinking like a champion. Every time I went to the start line, I was anticipating a pain that wasn't there, you know. And even though, you know, my coach and everybody, they're saying I'm ready, but I didn't believe I was ready because I had never been injured before. And it's like, I got this bandage on my leg, so then I must perform like I'm injured. And when it came down to the 800 meters, I didn't have any energy left because I didn't replenish my fluids. I didn't eat in between events. All I kept thinking about, pull this leg. And of the seven, the long jump is my favorite. I was ready to go for the long jump, but then I ended up having two file jumps and I needed one jump to continue. And I think I jumped, you know, 20 feet eight or 6 meters, 30 something. I was like, oh gosh. And at that time, I'm a 680 jumper and I was just devastated. And then it come down to the last two events that, not my favorite, the javelin and the 800 meters. And so I missed the gold medal by, 5 points. But, you know, I said, you know, God bless me to make another Olympic team. I want to be the toughest athlete out there mentally, because physically I knew I could do it, but mentally, and things happen, you know, and I just had to learn to adapt and adjust.
Well, I loved about watching all of you compete, and you do need this as a, I guess, a characteristic of being a heptathlete, is that bounce back ability. You know, when things aren't going well, you find something just to really focus your mind on, and you come back and you come back strong. I don't know, Carolina, I think back to maybe 2007, that Osaka Championships, where you were really very dominant. Would that be possibly, apart from the Olympic gold, one of your highlights, having had so many difficulties and struggles getting back into shape?
Well, I think, yeah, Osaka's, of course, one of the highlights, I would say. Olympic Games for sure as well. But just like you said, that's what I'm so amazed by heptathlon, is the way of be able to get back there again after event after event. And even if you do a really great event as well, you really have to let that go as well and reload to the next event. So I think it's hard to describe for people who did not do heptathlon the challenge mentally to reload 7 times and go in there in every different kind of situation. And I think for me mentally, I had my toughest competition in Helsinki in 2005. I had won the European, the World Championships and the Olympics. So I came to Helsinki as the biggest favorite. And the Swedish crowd all expected me to win easily. So the pressure was on. And then I twisted my ankle the day before and had to do a heptathlon with a twisted ankle, which is not maybe the best preparation. So I remember, you know, how I was throwing back and forward between I can do it. Oh, no, this is impossible. No, I can do it. No, it's impossible. You know, those doubts. I think the biggest war was against myself and my own doubts. And I think for me, my competitor friends, you know, the other heptathletes pushing me during that competition, coming to me in the warm-up, you can do it. You can make it. We'll be here for you, was really one of the keys for be able to do that competition with pain and with doubts. And mentally, it was definitely the toughest challenge for me.
I mean, we all have that experience of, you know, that camaraderie, which is so special about combined events. But you talked about your sort of your rivals at that time, your friends, as you called them as well. But who was your biggest nemesis? Because, you know, you talk about Helsinki, that 2005 championships, and Eunice Barber was right at you, isn't it? It was such a great battle. But I'm going to start with Nafi. I mean, we know as Brits, particularly, that rivalry between you and Katarina Johnson-Thompson. Is she one of your biggest nemesis? I just hope she doesn't bring her A game, because this is going to be like a proper battle.
Yeah, I think definitely she's like my biggest rival for the last few years. But I don't know, I think it's exciting, actually. I think it gives me even more the envy to go further and to be at my maximum. So it's, of course, some stress. And also for me, because I've always been in the thinking that I have to be focused on myself and not watch what the other ones are doing, because I have no control about what they are going to do. So I cannot be, you know, watching her and see her doing good and like losing my abilities or stressing too much because I see that she's doing good. So I always try to be focused on myself, but only taking the positive about the fact there is a great rivalry and that we are so close from each other. So I guess that's like everything. I try to take the good part and leave the bad part. But I think it's definitely a good thing for me, for her, and also for heptathlon, because people enjoy to see great battles before a championship. They like to talk about it, and it brings probably more attention to the competition. So, yeah.
And Jackie, for you, it was Jackie against the world, wasn't it? You know, the real strength in Europe at that time. You were flying the flag for the USA.
Yeah, you know, I think that what Nafi is saying about focusing on myself, I know the competitors, the competition is going to be there. And that's one of the things I learned from 84, because I was so focused on Glenn is none that Glenn is none was the one who ended up beating me. So I just said, you know, that the competition is going to be there. Let me focus on what I need to do so I can execute to the best of my ability, but not get so wrapped up into one individual that I lose sight of performing at my very best, you know, because, and Denise, don't count yourself out. You know, you're a tough competitor too now. So, so we had good rivalries going, but we had so much respect for each other, but knowing that it was just a focus on what are the numbers, what are the times that I said I can hit, and how can I hit those times and numbers and let my competitors push me. Because sometimes I get so wrapped up in, oh, I wanted to run the hurdle so fast, like in 88, I almost fell at number 7, and I had to regroup. Because I wanted to beat Sabina Pace so bad because she was the world record holder. And I said, I know I can run 12:40 in these hurdles. Forgetting I got 7 events And I almost fell trying to do that. And that's when I had to like, no. Well, you know, Bobby made it clear. Hey,
I'm gonna come on to the coaches later. But Jess, I mean, you also, it was like you against the world. You had some serious rivalries throughout your career. Tell me a little bit about how you dealt with that.
Yeah, I mean, Tatiana Chinova was one of my big rivals for many years. And I think Denise will know, but you know, at home in Britain, we love to create that rivalry between Brits, don't we? So between myself and Kelly Sutherton, there was always a big rivalry there when I was kind of coming into the heptathlon. And yeah, I felt that they always changed. So every championship, there would be, you know, a favourite. There'd be some girls that were kind of further down the pecking order, but would, you know, come up with some great performances. So you always had to kind of keep an eye on everyone. You couldn't actually write anyone off. And I think like the biggest kind of learning that I took over my career was that, you know, the psychology side of it, how you are confident in yourself and how you portray yourself as an athlete has a massive impact on how everybody else reacts and performs around you. And I remember going to the World Championships in 2015 after I'd had my son and, you know, I was doubting myself all over the place. I hadn't done all the training that I needed to do. I wasn't as physically strong as I needed to be. But then, you know, I remember my husband saying, you've just got to go out there and own it and, you know, be confident. And the girls will, they'll see that and they'll crumble around you. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do it. And actually he was right. You know, if you hold yourself in a certain way, then that has an effect on your competitors' performances. And that was definitely the case for me. And yeah, just a massive learning curve, really.
I think you've just such a real insight there, Jess. I think that is so true that it's not always faking it, but you've got to believe in those moments when, you know, everything's happening around you. I just want to know, because this is quite funny for me, I would like to know your guys' perspective on it. So you know when your rivals are, they've just literally done a massive personal best in a particular event, how do you stop yourself from watching, looking, getting absorbed into it? What's your coping strategy at that moment? Do you just kind of pretend it hasn't happened? What do you do? Nafi, what do you do? Because obviously you and Kat have had some massive high jump battles, the throws, the shots, you know, what do you do?
I think it just gets me excited, actually. It just, yeah, push me even like, it's like somebody would have made really a hype song and I'm like, okay, I have to do it too. So it's actually a good thing for me. It's not stressing me up or something. It just put me in the competition. And I just love that. I just love that about the competition. I think that's what we want. If you go to the World Championship, you want to be with the best. You want some competition and feel something. So I just like that.
I see a lot of knots going on the screen. Do you all kind of concur with that? Do you all think, yep, that's it. It's like game on.
Yeah, I think we're obviously all massive competitors. And although we're like really nice to each other, you know, on the track, but when one of your competitors has gone that little bit higher than you in the high jump, you're like, right, okay, I'm not stepping back. Like I'm going higher than you, I'm bringing it. And you want to raise your game. And I think that's what's so exciting about the competition and the heptathlon.
I mean, Carolina, just talking about the high jump and the long jump, those two events in particular, you were so animated. You know, that was one of your great strengths. You brought the crowd with you. You were hyped. You were pumped. I mean, what was with that? Because you're absolutely not like that off the track.
Well, no, I think when I'm at the track and in that moment, I'm really in my feelings and enjoying just to be there and to compete and to be together with the crowd and my competitor friends. And I really loved being on the track. That was my best time. I know you could be nervous before and maybe sometimes a bit anxiety and feel, oh, how is this going to go? But as long as I get into the track, as soon as I got in there, I felt this is where I am supposed to be. And I just enjoyed it and really had fun, tried to have fun as possible, because I knew this will not be so many times in my life that I'm able to enjoy this. So I was really grateful for the moment.
And Jess, what was it like? Because you competed in the arena when Carolina was like, what was that energy like? You know, because she really got the crowd going.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. Like, it still gives me like goosebumps thinking about it, because those days were the days when I was just beginning my like journey into like, you know, global championships. And I remember just watching Carolina, firstly, you know, from afar, and then I was actually competed against her, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. But, you know, she just brought so much energy, and just, you could see that she loved, like, you loved what you were doing, and had so much like desire, passion and drive to compete. And then the crowd as well, that was one thing, you know, I can't remember, we were, it must have been the European Championships, and I remember the crowd just absolutely going wild for Carolina, and just, you know, you were like their queen. They just like adored you, and, you know, you fed off them, they fed off you. And it was, yeah, like an amazing experience for me to be in, you know, that environment alongside you, trying to compete against you at that time. I was very happy when you retired, put it that way.
I mean, I have a similar story, and I know it didn't end great for you, Jackie, but I remember looking down at the lineup in 1996. Now, I'm fresh-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I'm lining up next to the world record holder, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, for the start of the women's hurdles. And I literally, the colour drained out my face. You walked out into the arena in her home country, and the place just erupted. It just erupted. And there was this guy like, go, Jackie, show them you're like 20 years old again. You can do it, Jackie. The place was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. Do you remember, Jackie?
I was about to say, because when we lined up, you know, for our heat of the 100-meter hurdles, then it just started to rain. It's like, oh, my gosh. And I knew, you know, and I was like, oh, I just wanted to perform well, but I knew my leg was really, really damaged, you know. But it's really a great feeling. And there was so much appreciation on my part. Because, you know, I'm so, like, focused on what I'm trying to do, and you block out all the noise and just listen for your coach and everything. But, and I needed that, you know, because I didn't know. I was hoping that I would be able to, you know, do the event. But after the hurdles, I felt the leg grabbing on me. And but they still, you know, and even when I was able to finish the long jump, and all I could do is just, you know, tell all of them thank you, you know, in my own way, because I gave my all to the sport. You know, when I left that sport, I knew that I had given my all, and I just wanted people to know that, because for us as heptathletes, that all I ever wanted people to do is to appreciate our talents and the effort, you know. And I just remember when Carolina and just now, when you all start grabbing each other's hands, coming up, you know, that, you know, I watched that with true admiration, because we, you know, out there fighting for 2 days, but at the end of the competition, we could find a way to embrace each other, you know, and none against the sprinters, you know, but hey, I've trained the best in the world, and they still don't talk today, you know, and the multi-event just brings something totally different, and I hope that the world was able to see that and to applaud all of us in our efforts in showing their appreciation for what they were seeing.
That's a little bit of a curveball question. You watch the heptathlon. Is there one person competing, or anybody you can think of at the moment, that you're actually glad they haven't done heptathlon because they're so awesome? Any athletes, past or present, that you can remember that you're thinking,
I felt, we're present, I mean, but she's doing it, Naffy and Katrina. I just think they are the best. You know, even when I look at, talk with some of our American heptathletes and getting them to stick with it, you know, because the heptathlon is a journey. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see athletes, they do 100 hurdles well or the long jump, then they say, oh, I'm just going to abandon the multi-events. But if they stay within that journey, then all of a sudden it would all start clicking. And, you know, every time I'm watching European Championship, World Championship, you know, watching your individual marks, just seeing, you know, what they're doing. Because, you know, everyone always say, oh, you know, the world record is so far out. But, you know, I think that don't put limits to what you can do, because the human body is capable of doing anything as long as we believe, you know, and when you're in the right situation, it just go. You know, I look at, you know, what happened in the Olympic Games with the sprints. You know, no one said you could run 10:50. Now, oh, all of a sudden, that's a conversation. So I just think that when I look at the talent out there and the combinations of putting the right events that can accumulate the right points, wow, anything is possible.
I was kind of alluding to whether, I mean, those two athletes that I kind of think about and I think, could they really be amazing heptathletes? So back when we were competing, Heike Dreschlet.
Yeah. Heike Dreschlet.
Could have been awesome.
Carol Lewis would have stayed with it. Carol and I, we competed as age grouper in the long jump. But then at one point, she was a good hurdler, multi-eventer, but she just wanted to stay with the long jump, you know, which I was like, oh, good. And but even with Heike, her and I, we would have conversations. And I think at one time when they were trying to push her to do the multi, and she really just wanted to long jump. She really wanted to do the sprints, you know, even though she had the ability, but she just wanted to, you know. And I don't know whatever happened to Sibylle Tilly, I think that was her name, the young multi-eventer, you know, from Germany. She, you know, I think she's about 188, you know, but then just fell off. I don't know.
So definitely Heike. I think Heike, if she came to it earlier and she had the passion, because you guys all have the passion for multi-events, she could have been really good. There's a rumor that Shawnee Miller-Weibo might be interested in combined events.
Yeah.
I mean, just wow. What do we think to that, ladies?
Yeah, I mean, she's an incredible athlete. I think Jackie's so right, though, when she talks about it's not, you know, you can be a physical specimen, you can be in incredible shape and, you know, physically strong across a number of events. But when you actually come to putting it all together and the mental side of it, and like Jackie said, it's not almost something that happens overnight. It's a massive journey through multi-events. It takes time and experience of championships as well to know, you know, where your strengths, where your weaknesses lie, how you balance your training program, how you spend time on certain events and leave other events to take care of themselves. So it's a massive, massive ask. I don't think it's something that you can just kind of dip into and instantly become successful. But it's, you know, it's great to see, you know, the likes of, you know, athletes who are doing individual events now contemplating, you know, the thought of doing a heptathlon in the future.
With that in mind, all of you have events that are literally world class, but you still came back to Maltese. What was that? What is that appeal? Because, you know, why take the difficult route when you could have it so nice and easy? Carolina.
Well, I would say I don't particularly like when it's nice and easy. I think it's the challenge and the mental challenge and the physical challenge. And I love the variation. I mean, I love that when you have a training program for the whole week, there's so many different disciplines that you have to do and physical abilities that you have to have. And I think I liked that challenge a lot when I did the combined events. I thought it was the best way of doing training, and I loved to the variation that you were never tired on the training because it was such a nice variation and different events to practice and to get better in. So, well, sometimes maybe it seems like you took the difficult path, and maybe we all did. But I think that also gave us a lot of good and great knowledge about ourselves and our mental strength, and something that I for sure have benefit from in my life now, that I can use a lot of the mental tools that I've learned, and, you know, to be in this kind of atmosphere together with others. For me, it's been so much more getting back and gain from the sport than it's been efforts.
That's a great answer.
Sacrifice.
Do you all agree with that?
Yeah, I was just going to add that I think Carolina's right. It kind of, the event shapes who you are as individuals, and it kind of, for me, I feel like who I am now has been molded by the journey that I've had in sport, and particularly in, you know, the journey that I've had within the heptathlon, you know, all the kind of things you face and the setbacks and, you know, the coming back and trying to get stronger and all the different challenges are things that I still use now and refer back to and to help me, whether that's with trying to get the kids to bed on time and, you know, being a mother and also, you know, being in like a completely different business world, you take it to everything. So yeah, they're good traits to have.
It's real life lessons. Yeah. Nafi, yeah. I mean, you're still so young and still so much, you know, but I guess you feel the same way, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think through the years, a lot of people have pushed me to the high jump.
202. I mean, it's a big jump. It's big jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I like high jump, and I've been thinking about it, like maybe doing high jump later. Why not? I would like to try it. Should just focus on it to see what I can do. But I feel like I cannot leave the heptathlon because it would be unfinished. I want to see where I can go to the heptathlon. And right now it would be impossible. It would feel like I failed or I give up. I just really want to go until the end and see what I can do. But also when I compete...
You have some records to beat, Nafi.
That is so true.
Okay.
In fact, let me read the records that you're aiming for. 1269, 186, 1580 shot puts, 2256. Wait for it, folks. 7 meters and 27 centimeters.
What?
45, 66 in the jav. I mean, that's, you know, we know Jackie can throw much further than, and 208. So that's the record. That's the sight line for you.
Great. Yes.
I mean, I'm not really thinking about the world record because
we're putting too much pressure.
I hope one day I can get to the point where I'm like, okay, that's my goal. I want to get it. I really hope one day I get there, but I'm not there yet. And I think in my mind at the moment, I really have my eyes on the European record because I know I can do it. I mean, doesn't mean I'm going to do it because there is, yeah, a lot of things coming in consideration, like to get there, but that's in my head. Like, that's really what I would like to achieve before the end of my career in heptathlon, it's to get the European record.
Yes, we have all the ability, believe me. You know, it's just keeping the mental side of it as strong as your physical side.
I love that. You see, you've got the endorsements of all the heptathletes.
Yes.
We are right behind you, Nafi.
I have to save this and you know, play it before my competition.
Yeah.
On that note, can I just ask you, because it is still really fresh, and Jackie knows how difficult it is to retain your title. Has it really sunk in for you, just what you've accomplished in Tokyo? Only the second one to do so in the event. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's been weird. I'm really proud of what I did, and it wasn't easy. But I think I'm still processing actually the last 2 years because it was a lot of difficulties. And I kind of start to understand that, you know, I was waiting to be in the same state that I was after Rio because I thought it would be exactly the same feeling, and it's not. So I was like, okay, maybe I didn't process it yet, but I just think it's different. And I think I just start to understand that it's different and it's bringing me different feeling. Because I'm not the same athlete that I was 5 years ago, and I didn't go through the same things. So yeah, I think I realized it. It's just different, but I'll try to appreciate everything I feel, and that gold medal too. Yeah,
I mean, Jess and I were watching you, not from Tokyo, sadly, but we were in sunny Salford with the BBC, and. You know, what you're saying there for us, I think we both witnessed a different outpouring of emotion from you in your post-competition interview. It was quite overwhelming, actually, to watch you.
Like I was saying, comparing with Rio, I was just like pure happiness, like person happiness, even like 200 person happiness. And I think after Tokyo, it was mostly like relief. Like, okay, it's done and I did it. And yeah, it's been hard and just everything coming out. It was just really different. But yeah, I understand it doesn't mean I was not happy because I cried right after. And it was all those thoughts from the last 2 years that came out. It just like happy, but different kind of happy.
Yeah. I guess. I think you have those different emotions, don't you? And I think for me after London, I was, you know, that same feeling, just elated, just so happy. It's the first time you've kind of touched that high. And then for me after Rio, obviously coming away with the silver, I was just, it was just that relief feeling of, I felt almost like absolutely exhausted. I don't know how you felt after Tokyo, Nafi, but it's the journey and the lead up to that point. It almost kind of takes its toll. It takes its toll on you a little bit and takes that kind of, I don't know, that high, that edge off it, because you're just so thankful that you've just got through it in one piece and you've delivered. And it's a completely different feeling. I think every championship changes and varies through the years.
And I saw that look on your face, Jackie, after 92, the Olympics in Barcelona, where you crossed the line at the 800 metres and it seemed like a different elation. The emotion looked different in your face. So do you relate to what Nafi's saying there?
Oh, yes, because, you know, you love what you're doing and it's one thing to be an unknown, but then all of a sudden, when everyone know you and the expectation, you know, are so high and you just want to perform, because sometimes you find yourself going against yourself instead of just still enjoying the journey, being a part of it. And it was just relief, you know, because it's like so much had been going on and it was like, oh, let me get through this, you know, after having the injury and, you know, in Tokyo, you know, and pulling up and had never, you know, pulled in, you know, like the 200s, like really? Anyway, then coming back and dealing with the ankle, you know, and then, okay, am I able to do 92, you know, get through the heptathlon and just, yes, you know. And for me, I knew that it was getting closer to the end, you know. You don't want to admit it, but I, you know, knew, because when I just started having different injuries all the time, it's like, okay, this can't continue to happen, you know, and still try to train at the highest level.
And Carolina, I know you've been asked this before, but is there a tinge now looking back that you didn't go for heptathlon in 2008?
I have never regretted anything, because I won so much more. For me, it's not about, it's maybe it's easy, maybe it feels like it's something bad to say, but for me, the medals is not maybe the most important part. I'm so proud of my medals. I'm proud of all my goals, and you know, but I'm more proud about all the joy and the friends and a lot of the adventures and challenges I've received. So medals for me and results are more of a bonus. But for me, it's more important to do the sport the way I want to do it. So I would say that I didn't win medals as a long jumper after that, but I've won so much more. I've won new friends, new adventures, new knowledge about myself doing just one event that I'm so grateful for. So for me, it's part of the journey that it's ups and downs with the results and medals, but I take care of all the experience I've had, and I'm just so grateful for my journey. And I would never regret, I could never ever say to myself that I would be disappointed for just having one Olympic gold. I'm so happy having one Olympic gold. I feel grateful. So difficult for me to think about, would I regret that I don't, you gave me the chance to have two? Well, I wouldn't be happier now if I had two. I'm sure of it. And for me, it was important to do it out of my own energy and my own motivation and my own joyfulness. That's what was... I had to be true to myself.
That's amazing to hear you say that, because, you know, a lot of athletes, I think, feel the pressure that they have to perform. And sometimes the inner voice is saying something different. And I know I've had that experience heading into Athens. That pressure of being Olympic champion really just said, you have to go, regardless of whether you're strapped up like a mummy again. You know, you just have to be there. And so, you know, the conversation about your mental wellness, I think it's very courageous when you can step out and say, no, I'm done. And I think just a little bit to your credit as well, you realized that you'd had enough. Despite being so young, both Carolina and yourself were still very young in terms of heptathlon life and athletics life, but you chose to stop.
Yeah, and I think that as an athlete, you are just that kind of person where you feel like you can never give up and you always have to push yourself harder at training and you're following direction from everyone. And I definitely felt a sense of, I don't want to let people down. I want to keep performing. Everybody's got this big plan for me and I have to keep ticking along. And actually it got to the point where, you know, I'd had my son. I decided in my head that I was coming back for 2 more years. And you know what? I want to retire when I want to retire. I want to retire at the top at the Olympics. I don't want to push on for 1 more year because it's the World Championships in London and the crowd and everyone are expecting me to be there. I want to end where I want to end. And, you know, like Carolina, I feel so fortunate and grateful that I had such a fantastic career and then got to retire on my own terms, you know, not forced out of it through injury or whatever it might be. It was just, okay, thank you. I'm ready to, you know, move on to the next phase of my life of taking on new challenges, learning more about yourself, like Carolina said, and being a mother as well. You know, there was lots of exciting times ahead of me. So, yeah, I think it takes quite a lot of strength and determination to make those tough decisions and make them at the right time for you, that's right for you as an athlete and as a person.
Well, I know I, for one, was thinking, yeah, she's retiring, but it's London. It's London. She's going to come back for 2017. She's just saying that. And you're right. You just said, no, I'm done.
Yeah. And I think in all honesty, physically, I probably could have gone 1 more year and competed. And, you know, I'm not sure how I would have done, but I could have competed. But the motivation wasn't there. You know, I was motivated by wanting to retire. And I was thinking those thoughts, you know, kind of round Rio, just before Rio. It was like I was in my holding camp with the team and Reggie was there with me and I'd be doing a javelin session going, this is the last time I'm ever going to train with the javelin. I'm going to retire soon. And, you know, when you're thinking like that, you cannot carry on performing. You know, I did my time trial, my last 800 meter time trial. And I was like, I am never doing a time trial ever again. 1 more 800 meters. And that's where I was. So, you know, it was time for me to say bye.
I totally agree with that. It's so, I can totally feel that feeling, Jessica. I totally understand that feeling. And maybe it's heptathlon. I don't know if it's more, maybe it's easier to push yourself. But, you know, if you're not 100% motivated to do all this tough training for an heptathlon, you're not going to succeed anyway. You're not going to be honest with yourself. So maybe you just know it's not enough to be a little bit motivated. You have to be 100% there.
Yeah, definitely.
I just have so much love for you. Really, really, I do. I was just saying that I love that what Jess and what Carolina was saying about stay true to who they are, you know, because, yeah, people will push you and push you. But you know that if you're training and you're saying, oh, this is my last one, you know it's time that, okay, no, I'm not going, regardless if the World Championships are in London and, you know, it's stay true to who you are because you guys did that, you know, and I love the fact, no regrets. You give it your all, you know, you walk away knowing, and, you know, and even for myself, you know, I was training, but I knew that I wanted to run my community center in my hometown, you know, and that was pulling a lot of my energies, you know, I couldn't, and still, I'm not competing anymore, but I have this community center that I'm running, and that's what I always wanted to do, along with just love competing, but then also knowing now you're competing in a whole different lane now.
Yeah, you're changing lives, Jackie, which I think is awesome with your foundation and the community stuff that you're doing. It's really incredible. But I'm just going to back up a little bit, because while we're on the subject of young people and being mothers, Jess, I think, you know, that 2015 coming back was a defining moment. I mean, it was a big conversation, literally, not only in Britain, but it feels like it was almost like a global conversation about how you sort of you juggle being a professional athlete and motherhood. You made it look really simple. I know it's not easy, but do you think it's sort of a positive how just the athletes at the moment, they seem to be deciding to choose to do both if they want to. So my question is to you, Jess, was it really easy? And you know, how did you juggle it? And the movement, it feels like this, it's a conversation every time an athlete's on the track and they're mothers, we all kind of go, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
And then to Jackie after that, is how different was it when you were competing and the athletes that were on your team at that time? So Jess first, if you would.
Well, firstly, it was definitely not easy. And I kind of naively didn't realise how challenging it would be. And I think every new mother has no idea what life is going to throw at them with a newborn. It's, you know, we live our lives as athletes where we train in a certain way and we control so much and everything's predictable and we like to be in control of everything. And then you become a mum and, you know, your little baby's not predictable and they challenge you in so many different ways. They, you know, there's all that love you have for them, but they're just like, you know, they do whatever they do. They're on their own schedule and, you know, you have to learn and grow and develop as a person with them. And it was just, yeah, it was the most incredible time of my life, but also the most challenging because in my mind, I just said to myself, I want to come back for 2 more years. I'm not coming back for a long period of time. I just want to see if I can come back, if I can do this, if I can show Reggie, you know, this last part of my journey through sport and he can be part of it. But then, like Jackie said, you know, the injuries come and, you know, as a mum, you have all these guilts and you know, you want to be the best mum you can be, but you still want to be the great athlete that everybody expects you to be. And your body's changed, you've changed mentally. And yeah, it took a lot of, you know, confidence and great people around me to help and support me. And yeah, I mean, it's one of the most, like, the proudest moments of my life, you know, winning that world championship medal in Beijing, knowing that what it had taken to get to that point and how emotional it had been. And for me to leave Reggie for 2 weeks to go to China was the most heartbreaking thing I ever did. I remember just crying my eyes out, leaving him, thinking, I hope this is going to be worth it. I hope I don't pull up with an injury. I hope I don't mess it up. I want this to be worth it. So when I did receive that gold medal, it was just, for me, it was just, this is everything I'd kind of worked so hard for. And then your question about, you know, mums in sport now, I feel so, like, inspired and motivated by every story that I read now, by, you know, the likes of Alison Felix and all those other mothers out there who now feel that they don't have to just, you know, make a decision and say, I want to have this career and I'll have my children later. They don't have to separate it. They can have both together and feel supported. And yeah, I think it's just an amazing thing. I think the more we support other women to feel confident to start their families when they want to, then the better.
And Jackie, how was it back in sort of the 90s? Were there a lot of athletes on the team that had children or...?
Yeah, there were several. My good friend Valerie Briscoe Hooks, who had a son, and we all trained together, and it wasn't like abnormal, you know. But it was really, how could, as a friend, and how could I help support her in trying to really make a comeback, you know? Because back then it was just taboo. They would say, "You have a kid, your career is over," and these are young women. You know, and then you fast forward to where we are today, and again, Bobby, who coached Valerie Briscoe, who Hooks, also coached Alison Felix, you know, so it's in that circle. But more importantly, I think the athletes of today use their voice to highlight something that wasn't happening back then. You didn't realize the sponsorship and how it impacted, you know, where they want to go in further their careers, having that support and being able to now embrace it, I think gives so much encouragement and just open up a whole nother lane of conversation, because it really shouldn't be a conversation people should be talking about. I just don't think we should be debating this, you know?
Nafi, I can see you looking, but I don't even want to ask you this question because obviously you're still so much into the competition head, but is there something about maybe family or that you think about, or is it just not an option for you right now? Not right now, but in the next few years?
Yeah, I'm not thinking about it now. I know that's, I don't feel like starting a family now. It's just not what my focus is on at the moment. And I mean, I don't know how it's going to be in the coming years. Maybe it's going to come fast. And yeah, I would like to go to that step later. Am I going to want to continue my career while starting a family? Or am I going to be like, okay, I'm done with athletics and then I start a family? I just don't know. I just think I'll see what I want at that moment and take my decision. I hope the options are going to be open for me, that it's not going to have to be a choice. It's actually something I've been talking with some friends, like, really at the beginning, like, because before coming to Rio, I was really thinking, okay, after Rio, I'm going to stop for a few years and start a family. And after Rio, I was like, okay, no. And now after Tokyo, I'm like, yeah, still no. So, but I mean, it's in the corner of my head, but that's not what I want now. So I'm not really thinking so much about it.
That's good, because I was loath to broach that conversation with you, but you know, I knew might be somewhere in the back recess of your mind. But I'm glad you answered that. Thank you for doing so. Okay, we're going to go back to a little bit more, I guess, track and field now. I think Jackie mentioned earlier that the javelin wasn't your favorite event. Did I hear that correctly?
No, it wasn't one of my favorite events. No.
Right. Okay.
I always focus on the events that were going to give me problems in the competition. So I would work on the high jump, the javelin, and conditioning for the 800 meters. And as long as the runway was straight, I was good. But if we went in an angle, I would throw out the sector. I'd be so afraid. You know, and so that was one of the events that you know, because I didn't throw the javelin when I was in high school. When they first made it from pentathlon to heptathlon, I hit myself in the head with it. And it was like, oh, how am I going to figure this out? You know, but you know, all of us know, when it goes well, oh my God, it released from your hand, like, it's effortless.
And Carolina, what was your least favorite event?
Shot put, for sure. Yeah, I had difficulties with the shot, but it's too short. It's too fast. You know, it's all over in a second. You don't even have a opportunity to build up a runway or anything. It's just over. You don't have the time to think. I need to think it through. So shot put is definitely my worst.
I know what Jess is going to say, but say it anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm struggling to pick one, to be honest. I think the throws for me, again, you know, I'm with Carolina with the shot put and the javelin. I was never a natural thrower, so it took me a long time to just like learn that rhythm of the events of throwing. I always wanted to do everything really quick, and you sometimes have to be quite rangy and the timing has to be right. And yeah, I just wasn't a natural thrower. So I had many, many years of frustrating javelin sessions and shot put sessions. But, you know, eventually it does click. And, you know, I wasn't the greatest thrower in the world, but I was, you know, I got to a level where I could be consistent. And I would not say I ever loved those events, but I kind of slowly started to enjoy them a little bit more than I used to.
And I know Nafi's not going to say shot put or javelin. So what is your nemesis event? What is the event that you least look forward to?
Yeah, for me, it's like the running events. I mean, hurdles are okay. I kind of enjoy it. But 200 and 800 are really like, I don't like it. I mean, 800 meter, for a lot of years, the problem was really in my head because I was afraid of it. Like, even before starting the heptathlon, I was thinking about 800 meters. I was like, oh my God, no, I hope something happened. I don't have to run it. But yeah, you have to in the end. So yeah. But I mean, it got better and I'm more confident. But I think really the problem was when I arrived at the 800 meter, I was really so convinced that I was slow and that the other one were so much faster than me and that I couldn't keep up with them. So even if I was able to keep the pace, at one point I was like, okay, I'm going to let them go because else I'm not going to be able to finish because I'm slower than them. So I'm not thinking like that anymore. And I really seen the improvement then. But yeah, I think it was really a lot in the head for me. Yeah, I was so scared of it.
That dread that we all have, like only heptathletes can understand that feeling that you have in the core room before the 800 meters when you could be physically sick because you're so nervous. It is, it's the worst feeling, isn't it? It's the worst.
The worst feeling. I remember I go to the line, Mike, I'm smiling all through, then the 800 lip. like pick your lip up, you know?
I was like, nobody could talk to me. Everyone would just like, leave Jess for a few minutes. She's right. Having a moment before the 800. Don't talk to her. Don't give her eye contact.
The worst for me was knowing that you had to warm up, but you just don't want to expend any energy.
Yeah. Right. So true.
You want to drink because you're so dry, but you don't want to drink because you don't want to go to the toilet. It's just...
Right.
Oh gosh,
the torture. So I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions because I am quick seven round, I've called this one, because it's quite and so I'm just going to go around the box that I can see. So we go Jess, Naffy, Jackie, Carolina. On your buzzers. No. Shot put or 800 meters, Jess?
Oh, 800. No, shot put. No, 800. Sorry. 800.
Naffy.
Yeah, shot put, obviously.
Jackie.
Shot put.
Carolina.
800.
Okay, interesting. I hope we can get like a little tally going on somehow later in the graphics. Hurdles or javelin, Naffy?
Javelin.
Jackie.
Hurdles.
Carolina.
Hurdles.
Jess.
Hurdles.
Obs. Yeah. Okay. Carolina. High jump or long jump?
Oh, that's a hard one. Oh my gosh. I would say long jump.
Interesting. Jackie.
Long jump.
Of course. Hello. 7 meters 40.
Show off. Show off.
Naffy.
High jump, yeah.
Jess?
High jump, easy high jump, yeah, easy.
How about this one? Naffy, this is for you first. Cleans or snatch? I don't know what the translation is in Flams.
It's like cleans and...
Yeah, and snatch.
Cleans.
Carolina?
Cleans.
Jackie?
Cleans.
Jess?
Cleans. Snatch is too dangerous, I feel.
See, I would have thought you would have all said snatch, to be honest. I love doing a hang snatch, no?
No.
I'm surprised. Okay. Crop top and pants or leotard? Jackie?
Crop top and pants.
Naffy?
Yeah, me too, because most of the time it's too short for me, the leotard. Depends of the model, but yeah.
Carolina?
Yeah, crop top and pants.
Jess?
Crop top and pants.
Yeah, because she just likes to show off her six-pack, that's all.
Well, everyone's got a massive six-pack on here, honestly.
Right.
Crazy six-packs.
Okay, next one is... This one's for Carolina. Heptathlon or pentathlon?
Heptathlon.
Jackie?
Heptathlon.
Naffy?
Heptathlon, yeah.
Jess?
Heptathlon.
Yes, full house. Okay. And the last one is heptathlon for women or decathlon for women? Naffy?
I mean, I'm here for both, but heptathlon. Like, if it has to be one or the other, heptathlon, definitely.
Jess?
Heptathlon.
Carolina?
Heptathlon for men.
No. Good answer. And Jackie?
I'm heptathlon all the way.
Love it. I think that's fantastic. So is there any question? Because I've obviously asked most of them, but with all of you greats on the platform right now, is there any questions that you want to ask each other? And if so, raise your hand. Okay, Jackie wants a question.
Nafi, I wanted to ask, during the pandemic, how difficult was it trying to train and get ready for, you know, the Olympics, you know, and, you know, just trying to find places to train? Because I think I saw where I read where you were trying to do your weights and then they had to come put weights in, you know.
Yeah. For the weights, actually, like the weight room have been closed for a really long, long time. So I moved some stuff, like just before the announced lockdown, there were some rumors about lockdown arriving like the next day. So I borrowed like a truck and I've been to the room and I just loaded maximum thing I could in there and brought it back in my garage. So I've been doing my weights in my garage for a few months. And for the track, maybe we couldn't go to the track for maybe 1 month, and then they allowed elite athletes to go to the track. So for that, it wasn't a problem. But I mean, during the pandemic, I actually had very good training because everything on the side was canceled. And I actually loved that, that I only had to train and rest and go to the physio. So, I mean, it was one of my best training periods, actually.
Great.
I hear that. I hear that. You know, mentally, how you athletes dealt with that situation generally, the stories you just said, is, I think it was very much the same in Britain as well. Jackie, how do you relate to that sort of pandemic, that change in preparation? I mean, going into 84 particularly, like, you know, you had the boycott. Did that affect you guys mentally in terms of how you dealt and prepared for the championships?
You know, I think because it was my first Olympic team, that it really didn't have a impact on me mentally versus some athletes who had an opportunity to make the team in 80 and knew. So it was just a matter of, here I am. I was in my own little world dealing not mentally strong because of the leg being injured. So in 84, Bobby has always found a way. He put us in stressful situations, how we can adapt. Because everything is not going to go according to the plan and how you, you know, prepare us for the unexpected, but know when it happens, you're ready.
Okay. And I know, Carolina, you had a question that you wanted to ask.
I would just want to ask you all, if you could go back, now, Nafi, you're in the middle of your career, but maybe if you could go back a few years, but if you could go back to the ones you were in the beginning of your career as an heptathlon, what advice would you have given yourself at that time, knowing what you know today? And Denise, I want to hear your answer as well.
Okay. Well, I guess I would, you know, the patience is a really big thing in sport. You have got to be patient and trust in your abilities, because I wasn't a fantastic junior athlete at all, but it is about using your opportunities and not utilizing them and having faith in the process. Mm. And so I would have said to myself not to be so hard on my younger self, not to doubt as much. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it, because, you know, I got there in the end, and that was through perseverance and, you know, that confidence really growing within me.
I would say very similar to you amongst the kind of line of like patience, just being patient in, you know, in what's about to come, and kind of, I'd probably tell myself that it's a journey and like things aren't going to happen instantly. Cause I think when you're a young athlete, you just want to be there, like winning, you want to be noticed, you want to be at the top of the podium straight away. And I tell myself that that's not going to happen. It's going to be like a journey, but, you know, stick with it and you'll get there.
And I would say that, agree both with Jess and Denise, trust the process, but then also trust myself and know that I pride myself on no one could outwork me, but it's okay to take a day off. You know, I just believe that, oh, I have to work hard every day, you know, that it was okay to take that day off, because that day of rest really allowed my body to heal and be able to come back much stronger. But in younger, I was like, every day I got to go, 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 go.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah. Are you happy? I mean, just looking at some Swedish athletics at the moment, Carolina, is there still the same sort of passion? You know, you've got some great stars coming through. Obviously, Daniel Stahl is just like legendary. Yeah. The same sort of energy? Because when you were around, it was obviously the golden era for Swedish athletics. Same sort of passion now?
Yeah, it's coming back, I would say. It's been a year of ups and downs. And of course, that's what it is for every country and every athlete maybe. But now I think they have a really thrive in the team. A few athletes that are really passionate. And of course, that gives a lot of inspiration for the rest of the team. So right now with Armand Duplantis and Daniel Ståhl and now Simon Pettersson and a few more jumpers, we're always strong in the jumping events. It looks really good. That's what I look forward is to find more heptathletes and decathletes. It looks a bit weak on that side. I hope it's going to be better in the future, but a lot of athletes coming through and are really passionate. So we're hoping for a bright future coming years.
And Nafi, you are the queen of Belgian athletics. I mean, obviously, I'm sure in the beginning there's a lot of pressure, but now perhaps there's more people looking to the event particularly. I know Norvitz is doing really well. She had a great championships in Tokyo. Yeah, how is Belgian athletics? Is it still in a good place?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talent and a lot of young athletes coming up. So I see it also when we're going to championship, because at the beginning when I was coming to championship, like European and world, we had such a small team. Like we were just a few athletes. And now when we're going even to the Olympic Games, we are such a bigger team and strong team, and we got quite some medals. So I feel like it's going good. And I hope it can also develop the sport in Belgium, because I feel athletic, it's not really, you know, it's not one of the most popular sport in Belgium. And maybe we don't have that sport culture like there is in some other countries. So I hope we can get more attention on that side, more help and more investment also in sport in Belgium, because we have a lot of talent and a lot of great athletes. We always have been, but they also need help to grow and to become those champions they can be.
And Jackie, we know about the USA, USA. We've all heard the chants from over our time in the sport, but there hasn't quite been another Jackie Joyner-Kersee. You know, we've seen the dominance back in Europe, I think it's fair to say, over the heptathlon. With all the expertise in the jumps, the throws, the hurdles in particular, and sprints, we've got some talented young heptathletes come through, but no world beaters just yet. And I know I sit next to MJ, Michael Johnson, in that studio. And, you know, for half of the championships these days, he's got his hands, you know, over his face thinking, oh, my goodness, when are we going to get any medals? Do you see, and what do you see, and what do you think of US, Track USA at the moment?
Yes, I think there's a lot of potential. Earlier when I was talking about the consistency and staying with the event and knowing that it's a journey. You know, we have young ladies that's really good, hurdles, high jump, that combination, but then, or they might do the hurdles and then fall off in the high jump. But I do think with Annie, Kendall, and Erica, and we have some more, you know, that's in the pipeline. But it's the consistency going and not just performing well. Here, they could score 67 here, but then you got to believe that you can compete against the world and be ready to go, you know, when the world championships come around. You know, it seems as though we get all riled up and ready to go just for to make our team. But then how do you go on and score those same points that they might score at our trials would get you on the podium? And so, but we have to believe that we can beat a Nafi, you know, we can beat with you, you know, they have to do that. No coach or no one else can do that. They have the ability, but then it's like setting those standards and working towards those standards and being consistent. Be a multi-eventer. Don't do the multi-events and run the hurdles fast. And then in the back of your mind, you're doing the multi, like, oh, wow, I can't wait next year to do the hurdles. That's how they think, you know.
If there was one event that you wish you could have done, which event would that be? Carolina.
Pole vault.
Wow.
For sure.
Such a risk taker. That's
so much fun. But I loved it. I had some practice with the pole vault during the years as an heptathlon just for fun, and I enjoyed it so much. It was so much fun. I was crazy being upside down and everything, but it was so much fun.
And Jess?
Gosh, I mean, I love watching the pole vault. I think it's like amazing to watch, but I'd be so terrified to do it. So I probably wouldn't try that. I don't know. I suppose, I don't know. Maybe I say like the four hurdles, maybe. That'd be quite a cool one to try. I know the training, you know, sounds horrific for the 400 meters as well. So I don't know how I'd cope with that, but yeah, I think that's a great event. And in recent years, just seeing how dominant it's been and the world records, Sydney McLaughlin, oh, it's just been incredible to watch. So, yeah, I'd give that a go, I think.
I think you'd be very good, but you know that. She could be amazing. Would have been an amazing 400 hurdler. Nafi, anything that catches your eye?
Yeah, actually, there is two. I think the first one would be triple jump. I really liked it. I used to do it when I was a bit younger, but my coach like forbid me to carry on because of my knees. Like just once I tripped and it was like, okay, no, stop. So I could never do it again. But I really liked it. And the 400 hurdles too. I mean, sometimes we do it at training and I like to do it. So that would be the those two, but probably more the triple jump.
Wow. I didn't expect that. I really didn't expect that, but now I'm thinking, okay, girl, why not try it?
Yeah, maybe later. I would like to.
What would your coaches say about you? I mean, both all of you are really personable, seem pretty easygoing. Would your coaches say that you were absolutely coachable, or a bit of a nightmare to work with, Carolina?
My coach would probably say both. He would say I'm pretty easy to work with in some way because I could easily take, his coaching was I could easily, you know, take his tip and use it and do it in my technique practices and so on. So in that way I would be easy, but then I think I was also quite demanding, you know, having high expectation on his work and to be there in time and to be really there. And, you know, if he was on the phone, I was like, cut it, we're training. So, and I also tricked him a lot when he said, oh, you look a bit tired. Maybe we should take off two races or something. I was like, no, I feel great. You know, so I always tricked him a bit as well. So I was maybe a little bit of both, I should say.
Oh, dear, that's hilarious. Jackie? Because I know you got a tough taskmaster right there in Bobby. Oh, my.
Oh, yes, I agree with Carolina. It would be both coachable, but tough to deal with at times because I'm very demanding. That's why day off, I'm like, no, I don't need no day off. And then being married to my coach, it's like, oh, gosh. Yeah, but definitely coachable.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And Jess?
Yeah, definitely both. I think, yeah, I can completely relate to Carolina when she says, you know, I was always there saying, get off your phone, you're late, come on, we've got training to do, we've got to keep focused, this is our plan. And he'd always be like distracted a bit and I'd be like pulling him back, right, we're focusing on this. So yeah, we had that kind of love-hate relationship, definitely.
I love it. It's so brilliant. I mean, I didn't expect any other answer, to be honest, because you don't get to where you ladies have got without being that driving force and your intentions are clear why you're doing what you do. And Nafi, I mean, I know you're still young, but you're still, I guess, I don't know, do you have that sort of feistiness or with your coach? I mean, do you have that challenge, that check and challenge going on with him?
Yeah. I mean, it changed with the years, because when I started training with my coach, I was 14, and he was doing like kind of trainings with me. We were doing shot put, and he was trying to beat me and stuff like that. He was still doing the gym also with me. But now, I mean, he's like 76 and he has pain in his knee and stuff. So, but we have a very good relationship. We kind of grew up together. I was the first woman he trained, and I was still very young. He used to train more like grown men. So I think we both learn a lot from each other. But yeah, it's like we have such a big age gap. We don't always see things alike, you know? It's like a bit like my grandpa, and yeah. So I don't know. We definitely don't agree about stuff, and we argue sometimes, but less than before, because of course I was 14. I went like through my teenage crisis, and I was not always easy neither. So, and he was not easy neither. So we have strong personalities. So sometimes we clash, but it's like, he's really my family now. Like, it's very special. Like, for me, he's really like a member of my family.
So lovely. How does he cope with all the social media commitments? And how would you guys, Carolina, Jess, and Jackie, have coped with the demands of social media that you have to have now in sports for your own brand as athletes?
I think for me, I felt like I was on the cusp of Instagram starting, and there was that kind of pressure starting to build from sponsors to say, oh, could you put an Instagram post here and can you do this? But it was not like kind of expected of everyone. So I felt that I wasn't fully into it in my career. But I always felt the kind of worry of, I don't want to show people too much. I don't want to show them me lifting weights. I don't want them to see what I'm lifting. I don't want to give too much away. But whereas now it's completely different, and you almost, you know, you have to show your journey. You have to show your training, and it's how the world's changed. And I completely get that now. But I think I probably would have found it hard to adjust to having to show more of that private side of training and preparing for championships.
Carolina?
Yeah, I would agree with Jess. I think for me, I'm kind of happy that I didn't have to go through that at the time. I don't know. I was so young anyway when I broke through in Sweden and got famous all over Sweden and so on. I was 19 when I won my first European gold, and I think it was crazy anyway. So I think I'm kind of grateful that I didn't have to cope with social medias as well. And for me now, I also feel it's kind of difficult. I think it's, I have a lot of integrity, and my private life is my life, and knowing what to share and what to not share. I think for me, I'm not so interested in it. And I keep away from it as much as I can. Sometimes I do have it right now, but I don't use it as much because I don't feel like I want to go in there. It's not my favorite part of life.
So many similarities. And Jackie, I'm sure you've got a response to that.
Well, yes, because during my era of competing, we didn't really have social media. And even still today, you know, I'm an AOL girl.
what would Bobby have said? You know, because obviously he's had that era where you didn't have it, but now obviously with Allison, and obviously he's working with Sydney as well. So how does he cope with that?
You know, Bobby is not a social media person, and but he also really worked with them, because these young people today, they post everything. I mean, nothing is private. I know it's like, I don't need for everybody to know my every move or what they're doing. And I think doing like the games, then maybe they cut it off, you know. But now they have different people that can post for them, and I'm not a proponent of that, because I don't know. I guess it comes down to integrity, and you just never know how people handle things. I know you have to trust, but when you can just push a button and say something I didn't say because of something you didn't like what I said to you, you know, could ruin you. But I do understand the business side of it, where people might ask you to post, you know, and I've done several of those that I'm okay to do that. But then just, I don't even know how to post on Instagram. I'm trying. My nieces and all of them, they're like, Auntie, are you serious? This is all you got to do. I mean, if that's easy for you. I get out there and do the heptathlon. I'm saying, it's easy. Just, you know, they give me a hard time. Like, really? You can't do this? I know.
Listen, on that note, I think we've covered quite a lot today, and I really don't want to take up any more of your time, but can I just say, this has been, I don't know, so uplifting hearing from all of you. I've admired you all in different ways over the years, but there are so many similarities that I hear that you've spoken about in terms of that integrity, that commitment and dedication, and the effect you have had on athletics has been immense, and it's almost indelible, you know, in the minds and hearts of everyone who's watched you over the years. So thank you for the joy, and thank you for sharing and being so open on this wonderful World Athletics podcast. And keep watching, keep supporting the sport as you all do in your own ways. Nafi, continue your brilliance, because we love you and we know you've heard it from us. We're right behind you all the way.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Good to see you all.
Good seeing everyone. You guys stay safe.
Oh, so nice. Yeah, take care, everyone. So good to see you. Can we do it every year? Can we do this every year?
In real life. In real life.
Yeah.
In real life. Yeah, that'd be so nice.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.